You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. We continue our candidate conversations with more from the race for lieutenant governor, where we turn now to one of the Democrats running, Sherry Dorsey Walker. This is Dorsey Walker's second bid for lieutenant governor. She ran in 2016 and finished second in a six-person race, losing to current lieutenant governor Bethany Hall Long. She was then elected to the State House of Representatives in 2018, serving the 3rd District in Wilmington through her current term. She also previously served on Wilmington City Council. A reminder, the candidate conversations you hear here on The Green are edited for time. Full conversations are online at DelawarePublic.org. The lieutenant governor's role is often what a person makes of it. How do you feel you could make the position of lieutenant governor consequential? Are there some issues that you would like to make your own if you're elected lieutenant governor?
Absolutely. Affordable housing would be key. Working with the different counties and different municipalities to ensure that we have, I just left the Kingswood and Wilmington for the groundbreaking for the new Kingswood. And just being a part of, and I'm the board chair for the teen warehouses, the work group, Teen Warehouse, Reach Riverside, and Kingswood, and Kingswood Community Center. And we're doing something called purpose-built communities. And that's something that where you have the community that was once very low income and did not have the resources that it needed. And now we're building a community within a community. And that's something that if we can do that on the northeast side of Wilmington, which was a housing project, that's something that can be done up and down the state. So I'm looking forward to creating those necessary community partners throughout the state of Delaware, making sure that people have what they need.
I do want to talk a little bit more about affordable housing, but before we get to that, Lieutenant Governor presides over the state Senate. And in a time of strong partisan tensions, do you feel like the Lieutenant Governor in that position can play a role in setting and maintaining a more positive tone in the legislature?
That's an outstanding question. My time in the State House is very interesting in preparation to become the next lieutenant governor. I retired from the State House so I could pursue lieutenant governor full time. So I would not have one foot in one race and one foot in another seat, but to be completely committed to being the next lieutenant governor. I mention all of that because at my retirement, many of my colleagues on both sides of the aisle stated how peaceful I am and how I brought a sense of peace to situations. One of the things that I did intentionally as a state rep, I did not have to really interact with anyone on the other side of the aisle because we pretty much had the votes that we needed in the Democratic caucus. I intentionally worked with my Republican colleagues so that they would always feel like they were included in any legislation that I worked on and wanted to get passed in the state of Delaware. And I'm very much inclusive, and I like to listen to people. And that's something that was a reverberating theme when I retired, that she's always finding a way to be inclusive.
So let's get into some issues, and we'll start with one you've already talked about, which is affordable housing. It is a complex issue. And I guess what I'm asking candidates is, where do you feel the state can be most effective at addressing affordable housing? Where should the state's efforts be focused to have the most impact quickly?
As a state, one of the things we can do is work on some of the vacant properties that exist up and down the state. In Wilmington, it's called the land bank, and so a lot of properties are in that particular entity. And giving people from the local community who have now become contractors, giving them an opportunity to shift their neighborhoods economically. And so it's workforce development, it's economic development, and it's also creating affordable housing. I mentioned Wilmington, but that's something that we can do in Dover. That's something we can do in Seaford. That's something we can do in Selbyville. It's something that can be done up and down the state.
So let's talk a little bit about education, specifically education funding. That has been a significant issue in recent years. The lawsuit over education funding equity led to a report on education funding last fall that recommended the state spend an additional $600 million to $1.1 billion per year. Lawmakers this year did create a public education funding commission to take a look at the funding structure in the coming months. What I'm interested in is what you think about education funding, and starting with the concept, should the state be spending more?
It's interesting because we can spend, but if we are not investing in, we have to invest in our children and our educators. And what does that look like? I was just at a bill signing yesterday in dealing with mental health. And are we addressing the mental health concerns of our children? Are we addressing the concerns of our educators? It becomes tiring for many, and there's a scripture that says, don't grow weary in well-doing. And that's, educators do well. And when I say they do well, they're expected to do so much. They're expected to be a sociologist, a psychologist, a friend, an aunt and uncle, whatever the dynamics are. And if we're not providing our educators with the resources that they need to be the kind of educators that they desire to be, you will not find an educator in the state of Delaware who is not committed to our children. Every single educator with whom I have come in contact, they love what they do, but they just need the resources to do it well. Our children want to learn, but what is creating these issues where it's difficult to learn? Well, we have to look at what is necessary. House Bill 198, that's adding Black history to the state's curriculum, which was my bill. Mm-hmm. It was birthed from our children. Our children came to me and they said, Representative, we don't see ourselves reflected in the classroom. And so we passed that bill. Our children created the Delaware Black Student Coalition from as far north as Claymont to as far south as Selbyville. We had students who came together and said, we want to see something different. That's what needs to happen. We need to, and we had educators at the table too, as well as the Department of Education. And what needs to happen is we stop making decisions for educators and have educators at the table along with our students and watch how things shift.
Beyond that, is there also a concern about the actual funding structure? I mean, that's what this commission is going to look at. That's one of the things that the report that was put out in the fall talked about. The idea of the unit count funding system is a pretty old system. Other states use different systems that involve weighted funding. Do you feel like that's also essential to getting at the issue of improving education, is addressing the funding system and finding a different way to make sure the money gets to the places you're talking about, the places they need to be?
Yes. When I visit schools, some schools in Sussex County, you look at some of the high schools and they look like mini colleges. And so when you look at a school and the school says, come here, you're welcome, that matters. Just in my district, the Byard School was totally renovated. It's a welcoming environment. Before, the Byard School didn't have windows. Like, how egregious is that a school was built without windows? It doesn't say this is open. This is a great place to learn. Now we have a different kind of school. It just makes a difference. And you look at the structure of the building. The building says a lot to our children. And so why is it that some schools look like many colleges and are welcoming and open and some aren't? And so it starts at the door. And so why don't we make sure that all of our schools are a great place for our children and our educators? It starts there.
I do want to ask you about the concept of urgency in these discussions about education, because I think a lot of people hear all this talk and they think, well, I've heard this before, Vision 2015, WEAC, WEAC, Reading Consortium, and we hear a lot of talk, but we don't see a lot of action. What do you say to parents who raise that concern that they don't see, they see a lot of discussion, but not a lot of actual action?
Well, when parents say things like that, they're correct. Our children, our parents, and our educators are not Tuskegee experiments. Every time we turn around, it's always something new. Why don't we stop creating all of these different dynamics every year or every other year or every third year or fifth year, whatever the number is? Why don't we stop with that? Stop experimenting with our children, our families, and our educators. Bring everyone to the table who needs to be at the table, including our children, and come up with the proper concept. If it can work in some of our schools that are actually doing good work, mm-hmm. then why can't we do that throughout the state? What is the real issue? And I always tell people, education's more political than politics. We have to stop playing politics with our children, our families, and our educators. And just let our educators teach our children. Let our children learn and support the families.
Want to move on to healthcare, cost and access. There are becoming pretty stubborn issues in this state. Delaware has one of the highest costs of care in the nation while struggling to attract and retain providers and specialists. We're seeing it play out in a lot of different areas. Most recently, we saw issues with state employees and retirees and their health care costs and access. Lawmakers did do work on state retiree benefits this year and did create the Hospital Cost Review Board, but that is currently being sued by ChristianaCare over its legality. That's a long way of asking, what do you think the state should be prioritizing to address cost and access in healthcare to make sure that healthcare is more affordable and easier to get to?
I was one of the co-prime sponsors on the legislation to ensure that our retirees, that the promise that was made to them some 30, 40 years ago when they started working for the state, that that promise was kept and that their benefits stayed intact. When you talk about the rising cost of healthcare in our state, we do have to address that, and we need to look at where can we make differences, where can we be a benefit to our constituents. And that's a tough one because so often in our health, we have St. Francis Hospital, we have ChristianaCare, we have Bay Health, and we have a healthcare system in Sussex.
BB,
thank you so much for that, because it was like coming to me.
Understood.
yes. And everyone operates differently. Each one is its own unique being, if you will. And so what we have to do as legislators when we are creating legislation is ensure that they each have their voices. They have their voices while also protecting our constituency. Because part of the genesis of the bill around the Health Resources Board was the price of health care, the price of an MRI, the cost of an MRI in Delaware, the cost of having surgery here in the state of Delaware, getting those astronomical bills, those kinds of bills. And thank goodness that your health care can no longer be used against you as far as your credit, because there was a time when that could happen and many people would have bad credit right now. But how do we shift this? That's going to take a paradigm shift. And what needs to happen is ensuring that the voices of the voiceless are heard.
Many things we are talking about come with a cost. The outgoing governor, John Carney, has taken a more cautious, pragmatic approach towards spending. He's emphasized one-time spending, so-called budget smoothing, to set aside dollars as a hedge against economic downturns in the future. What approach would you advocate to balance spending with fiscal responsibility?
That's pretty simplistic. House Bill 70 abolished the practice of the death penalty. And when we look at that, that was costing us more than it ever should have. So when we look at that and look at ways that we can save the state money, one of the ways we can save the state money, honestly, is there's a bill sponsored by Representative Stephanie T. Bolden, House Bill 400. What that bill does is it moves our primaries. When they're in presidential years, the primary is the same time as the presidential. And so that our primaries would be the fourth Tuesday in the month of April versus having one of the latest in the country, September 10th. Why did I mention that? It saves the state $1 million. There are so many things that can save the state money, but where is the movement? And I've voted for it every year. Where's the movement of the legislators to ensure that we do those kinds of things?
So you're advocating the idea of like looking for these little pieces and hopefully then build it into something that's a little bit bigger rather than going after big ideas that maybe you just can't build consensus to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And like I said, that particular piece of legislation always passes the House but gets stalled in the other chamber.
In a time when there seems to be stronger distrust of government and calls for more transparency and accountability, what role do you feel the Office of Lieutenant Governor and you personally can play in giving Delawareans greater transparency and accountability from their government, from their politicians?
That's an outstanding question. So often people have stopped trusting elected officials because there seems to be in the minds, and I'm on doors talking to people up and down the state, people just want you to tell them the truth. Even if the truth is bad, just tell them the truth. Even if you've done something that maybe isn't pleasing to a constituent, if you voted for a bill that a constituent did not like it, just talk to our constituency about it and just tell them what has transpired, what led. I can stand by anything for which I have voted. And I've had constituents call me and say, listen, this is my thought on this particular legislation. I've sat in their home. But just talk to people and be honest with them. And it doesn't mean we're perfect beings. When we make mistakes, apologize. An apology goes a long way in Delaware and throughout the country, throughout the world. But when we stand and we know we've done wrong and we're just going to stand in it, that's when our constituency starts to lose faith in government. And rightfully so.
I want to wrap up by asking you if there is – well, actually, I do want to ask one more question on accountability and transparency. There have been some calls for the creation of an inspector general's office in Delaware. Would you support something like that to help foster more trust in transparency and accountability?
I would first want to look at the cost of it, because even if we have the inspector general, if people are going to participate in unsavory behaviors – it can get called out, but what's ultimately going to happen? So if it's something that doesn't have any teeth, mm-hmm. and if it's something that's really not going to hold people accountable, then what would be the purpose of the office? But if the office is going to be able to hold people accountable and potentially, even if it's a situation where someone needs to be removed from office, mm-hmm. if that could happen, then I could support that. If it's a situation, like I said, that it requires that kind of action, but if it's just another office where a friend can get a job and make six figures, then I'm not going to be in support of that. But if it's something that really makes a difference, then I absolutely shall support it.
That's Democratic candidate for Lieutenant Governor Sherry Dorsey Walker. Our full conversation with her is available at DelawarePublic.org. We'll hear from the other two Democrats running for Lieutenant Governor, Kyle Evans-Gay and Debbie Harrington, on a special edition of The Green this Tuesday. And stay with us. We take a deeper dive into Delaware's affordable housing crisis with the Executive Director of Housing Alliance Delaware. That's next on The Green, here on Delaware Public Media.